Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. So we ask this morning that you'd open our eyes, that we would see the wonders of your word. Give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom, all through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We got two scripture readings this morning. And first is from the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the Bible that Jesus read. When Jesus was alive, there was no New Testament that we enjoy, just the Hebrew Scriptures. And so this is a passage that Christ was very familiar with from the prophet Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. Here, let's hear the word of the Lord. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. And then the words of Christ from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, as Jesus gave instructions to his disciples on how to pray. This is the first part. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Amen. Do you know that Paul Simon was only 21 years old when he wrote The Sound of Silence? Just a kid. He penned the iconic tune in his water closet, of all places. He liked to go there. He loved the acoustics in his bathroom, in his house. So it was a place where he could just get away from it all. And what he'd do is he'd turn off the lights, and it'd be just him, his guitar, and the quiet. All distractions were closed off, away from him. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You know, for us, the Lord's Prayer is a lot like that. Jesus says you don't necessarily need to go to your water closet, but go to your prayer closet. Shut out distractions, enter into the stillness, and speak with your hearts, saying, Our Father who art in heaven. You see, there's an imminence. There's a closeness, a dependency, a sacred union when we come to meet our Maker in prayer. At the same time, our compassionate Creator is also transcendent. He's holy, mystical, our Father who art in heaven. Now, it's been called, us Protestants, we call it the Lord's Prayer. In the Catholic Church, it's known more as the Our Father. It's also been called the Disciples' Prayer. Whatever you name, whatever name you give to it, it's Christianity's greatest prayer because it was given to us by our Master. It was a gift that Jesus gave his disciples and the church. And in that prayer, Jesus offers his very breath to us. He offers his very life, his very mission, his heartbeat of what it was all about and what was important to him. And so each time we utter those words that Jesus taught us to pray, we find ourselves standing or kneeling on holy ground. Heaven kisses earth, and we're changed. When we pray with Christ in the school of prayer, we're reminded that we have there are much bigger needs than just our own. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded of how big our God is. When we linger in God's presence, we can recollect things. We can remember once again who God is, but also who we are. Things get put in proper perspective when we go to the Lord in prayer. Our priorities get straightened out once again. Now, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting. The first half, I don't know if you've noticed this, the first half focuses upon the divine. It's totally God-centered. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're really looking up, and it's focused upon the living God. And so the first half of the Lord's Prayer reminds us God has a supreme and premier place in our lives. God is number one. But the second half changes tone a little bit. It still looks to God, but it focuses upon humanity and our needs for God. So we've all prayed it many times before. Give us this day our daily bread, meaning we take our present needs to God, our provider. And then we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, meaning we take our past to God, right? Our hurts from our relationships, our need of forgiveness from God and forgiveness with one another. So we seek reconciliation. And then we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's future focused. God, guide me ahead that I would walk in your ways, that I would choose your will, that I would be protected from evil and not walk in those ways. And so each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we're feeling tense in our lives, the Lord's Prayer trains us to offer to God our past, our present, and our future, the whole of God into every tense of our lives. Now, when we read the Gospels, we read over and over, Jesus prayed a lot, right? So if Jesus needed to pray a lot, sure is heaven, Emmanuel, we need to be on our knees praying a lot too. We are people of prayer. And so in all the seasons of our lives, when things are going good, we go to God in prayer. We give thanks for those things in our lives. And when we're going through our own personal Garden of Gethsemane, we go to God, who is our rock. Now, think of prayer this way. I think probably pretty much of us have a smartphone here, right? Either at home or in your purse or in your pocket or something like that. Hopefully you remember to silence them. What do we have to do every night? What's one of the things we remember before going to bed? Of course, praying. But what's the other thing? Get your phone charged, right? And when we forget to do that, we're kind of a little grumpy and ticked off in the morning because we don't have a full 100% in our batteries. Prayer is the same. It's how we get recharged in our faith to do and to enjoy God's will in our lives. So we can enjoy, just so we can enjoy our cell phones, the GPS, we can enjoy our texting, we can enjoy the internet, occasionally even calling people on our cell phone. So it is in the life of the Christian where we can do all that God has called us to do. The Lord's Prayer is also important because it reminds us that we're not alone and that it's not just about me. Now, we may pray the Lord's Prayer by ourselves. We can do it individually. We can do it collectively. But we never pray it alone. Because have you noticed in the Lord's Prayer, there's never these three words, me, my, or mine. Not found in the Lord's Prayer. Not my Father in heaven, but what? Our Father. Give me, oh wait, no, give us. Forgive us. Lead us. You see, the prayer reminds us not only that God is our Father, but that we are God's children. And I am not God's only child. We are in God's forever family as brothers and sisters together, and we can't forget that. We're connected. When you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt you, I'm also hurting myself. You see, God is not our possession to hoard or to keep from other people. We can't put a keep out sign, private property, over God. We can't do that. We share the one true God, our Father in heaven. We share another thing in common. We are all made in the image and likeness of our God. Every single one of us. And each time we pray that beautiful R before God, we are summoned to forgive our brothers and sisters, and we are summoned to forgive our enemies. There's a sacredness, and there is a mystery each time we utter the Lord's Prayer. When we whisper, "Our Father," or in the power of the Spirit, we say, "Abba, Father," which is very similar. Because God's divine Spirit meets our human spirit in a holy communion and conversation that takes place in prayer. There's a divine dance that takes place when we go to the Lord in prayer. God's identity, God's character, and God's will, they move in us and they move upon us for our earthly living. You see, it's in prayer that we not only lean upon the triune God, but we are led by the triune God each time we pray upon God the Father, who's our provider, upon God the Son, who forgives us, and upon God the Spirit, who upholds us in our temptation. When we pray our Father, we pray to one God, right? Our Father in heaven, and one God alone. We don't pray to the universe, right? No, we pray to the creator of the cosmos. We pray to the one who gave us life. We pray to the one who gave life to the world. That's the one that we pray to. We don't look to the God of this to get certain, just a few things in our lives worked out, and then worry about the God of that, what the God of that will do about the God of this. No, there's one God. The scriptures say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." The one true God is a loving God. That is good news. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. He's our Rock. He's our Strong Tower. He's our Refuge. God heals our earthly father wounds. And this is very important. God is not an intrusive God or an abusive God. God isn't an absent or disengaged or distant God. Our Heavenly Father is a loving Father who receives us, who embraces us, who responds to us, who listens to us, who forgives us, who loves to waste time with us. That's good news. God is ready and waiting to take us back when we've wandered far from home. In fact, the God that we worship is the God who goes out after us. He is a prodigal hugging God that we serve. God yearns to shower upon us the same love that he showered upon his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Also, when we just pray those simple first two words, "Our Father," we remember not only that God is our God, but we remember who we are. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. We're beloved. We're cherished by the creator of the universe. We can forget this sometimes. We need to pray. When your crow, which is your inner critic in your life, perches on your shoulder and caws in your ear, you're a fraud, you're a failure, you don't listen, and you utter those beautiful words, "Our Father." That's who you are. Prayer helps you know who you are. There's an old story about a Roman emperor. who was in Rome enjoying a victory parade. So everyone, the multitudes were in the streets, and there was a large retinue behind the Roman emperor of the captors from war. All the booty and all the treasures were behind them, carted around the city. You could hear reverberating throughout the city streets the cheers from the multitudes. And at one point in the parade through the streets, amongst the people, there was a small platform, and that's where the family of the emperor was, including his young child. And when the boy saw that the emperor, his father, was getting close, he kind of ducked under the guard ropes, was able to avert the Roman guard, and made straight for the emperor's chariot. And the Roman guard finally caught up to the little squirrely child, scooped him up, and he said, "You can't go there, little boy. Don't you know who's in that chariot? That's the Roman emperor." And the little boy laughed, and he said, "Well, he may be your emperor, but he's my father." Emmanuel, our heavenly father, is our father, a royal father. And he's a loving father. He doesn't abuse his power, because the love of God is always wedded to the power of God. So God's power is a loving power, and his love is a strong love that will accomplish his will in the world and in our lives. And so the Lord's Prayer reminds us to be like that little boy, to be bold and to go before our God, yet reverently approaching the Lord with a hushed reverence. But there's no terror, just a holy fear, a awe, a respect of the Creator of the universe, who is also our Father. And so it's a great act of courage for us each time we utter those words, "Our Father who art in heaven." Because we are saying this as children of the King. And we're asking the living God to mentor us, to train us, to apprentice us, to instill within us the royal work that he's called his Son Jesus to do, and he's given us to do. "As the Father sent me," says Jesus, "so I send you." Father, our Father, our Father, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen.